The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and possibly from the Harvard Health Letter. The first article is from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter of July 2021, and it's entitled Peripheral Neuropathy: Get Control of This Condition That's Common in People with Diabetes. Tingly toes, painful feet, hands on fire, the sensations keep moving up your body, and you don't know what's causing them or what to do. A possible cause is peripheral neuropathy, a condition defined by nerve damage. That damage may be related to any number of causes, including metabolic problems, inherited conditions, immune disorders, traumatic injuries, infections, and exposure to toxins. The condition is particularly common in people with diabetes, and even in people with prediabetes. If the underlying cause is managed, symptoms may sometimes improve. In addition, medications can reduce the pain of peripheral neuropathy. Your nervous system involves two broad categories. One is your central nervous system, your brain and spinal cord. The other is the peripheral nervous system, which sends information between your brain and spinal cord and the rest of your body. The peripheral nerves that may be affected by neuropathy include sensory nerves. These allow you to feel sensations, such as heat, pain, or touch, and contribute to your sense of balance. Motor nerves. These control your muscles' contractions and power. Autonomic nerves. These control involuntary body functions like blood pressure and digestion. Something's gone haywire. Most people experience peripheral neuropathy from the bottom up, starting in the toes and moving up the leg. Sometimes the hands are affected too. You may encounter gradual numbness and tingling in your feet or hands and may progress up into your legs or arms. Burning pain, sharp jabbing or electric pain, extreme sensitivity to touch, feelings of coolness or tightness, and clumsiness or lack of coordination. Peripheral neuropathy affecting the motor nerves can produce muscle weakness, particularly in the ankles, toes, and hands. You may find that you're tripping over your toes or having difficulty unscrewing a lid. Bowel or bladder problems and lightheadedness with standing may come from damage to the autonomic nerves. Numbness or reduced sensation associated with peripheral neuropathy may pose dangers. For instance, if you touch a hot plate or a pan, your normal response is to pull back quickly to avoid a more severe burn. If parts of your body lack feeling, you're less likely to react quickly to protect yourself from injury. In addition, a poorly fitting shoe or something as simple as a pebble in your shoe can cause injury to the foot due to the lack of pain sensation. Another potential danger is for infection or inflammation to go undetected and untreated. Normally, inflammation causes increased pain, but that pain sensitivity may be reduced with peripheral neuropathy. It's important to regularly check affected areas for minor injuries and to treat them. Being proactive is especially important if you have diabetes, which tends to slow wound healing. Peripheral neuropathy is not a single disease, but rather nerve damage that can result from a number of conditions. In many cases, a cause can't be identified. Some neuropathies are due to genetic conditions. One of the most common acquired causes is diabetes, especially when blood sugar levels are poorly controlled. Damage may be linked to metabolic conditions like kidney disease, hypothyroidism, or metabolic syndrome. Autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Sjogren's syndrome, and vasculitis also can be associated with neuropathy, and Guillain-Barré syndrome is a primary autoimmune neuropathy. Misusing alcohol is associated with peripheral neuropathy. Vitamin deficiencies, especially a lack of certain B vitamins in your diet, can also cause nerve dysfunction. Certain viral or bacterial infections like Lyme disease, shingles, hepatitis C, and HIV/AIDS can cause peripheral neuropathy. Cancers, particularly blood-related cancers, may be a factor. Some tumors may develop in peripheral nerves. The potential for peripheral nerve damage is increased with exposure to toxic substances like heavy metals and certain medications. The side effects of certain chemotherapy drugs used to treat cancer can be particularly concerning. If you're having symptoms, your doctor may request blood tests to check your blood sugar and vitamin B12 levels and for the presence of abnormal proteins, which can cause or be associated with peripheral neuropathy. Blood tests can also show how well your kidneys, liver, and thyroid are functioning. Other tests may include EMG, which measures electrical signals in peripheral nerves and the transfer of those signals to muscles. Treatment is geared to managing your symptoms and any underlying condition. Treating the cause can improve neuropathy or at least stop the damage from progressing. Recent research has shown that controlling blood sugar levels, a key component of treating diabetes, is effective in reducing peripheral neuropathy in people with type 1 diabetes, but is less effective in people with type 2 diabetes. The other part of your treatment is pain relief. Your doctor might recommend certain pain relievers like over-the-counter pain medications, such as acetaminophen, like Tylenol or others, which can relieve mild pain. For more severe symptoms, your doctor may prescribe drugs specifically for nerve pain. These can include anti-seizure medications, drugs like gabapentin, with trade names Gralees and Neurontin, and pregabalin, the trade name Lyrica, developed to treat seizures, also are helpful with nerve pain. Non-prescription lidocaine patches or creams are applied to your skin to relieve pain. Capsaicin cream, which contains a substance found in hot peppers, may give some relief. In addition, stronger prescription creams are available. Antidepressants. These drugs may interfere with chemical processes in your brain and spinal cord that cause you to experience pain. Electrical stimulation. With transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation called TENS, T-E-N-S, a gentle electric current delivered through electrodes placed on the skin may improve your symptoms. Another type is scrambler therapy, which is applied to the feet. Scrambled electrical signals are sent through the affected nerves to the brain, where they're interpreted as normal, non-pain signals. This process may retrain the brain not to perceive pain in the affected areas. In addition, various integrative treatments, including acupuncture and massage, may help. Finding relief is often possible, but it may take patience as you work with your care team to find a treatment plan that works for you. Under a subheading, What You Can Do, it says, to help manage peripheral neuropathy at home, try to take care of your feet. Check every day for blisters, cuts, or calluses. Avoid going barefoot and wear soft cotton socks and padded closed-toe shoes. You can also use a semicircular hoop, which is available in medical supply stores, to keep bed covers off sensitive feet. Prevent falls. Peripheral neuropathy affects your balance, Good lighting is important to prevent falls, so be sure to turn on a bedside lamp before getting up to use the bathroom at night. Place a handrail in the shower. Remove obstacles and bulky rugs to avoid tripping hazards. Physical therapy and assistive devices also may help. Regular exercise, like riding a stationary bike or walking 3 times a week, can reduce neuropathy pain, improve muscle strength, and help control blood sugar levels. If your feet hurt, non-weight-bearing exercise like swimming or water aerobics can be very effective. Gentle routines like yoga and tai chi also might help. Quit smoking. Cigarette smoking can affect circulation, increasing the risk of foot problems and other neuropathy complications. And finally, eat healthy meals. Good nutrition is especially important to ensure that you get essential vitamins and minerals. Include fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and lean protein in your diet. Be sure to minimize alcohol consumption. The article also has some health tips for at-home skincare. With time, the skin is going to show signs of aging. Wrinkles and sunspots are common, the results of exposure to sunlight, which breaks down the tissues, collagen, and elastin that give skin its elasticity and strength. A number of steps can help you to fight these age-related skin changes, including drinking an adequate amount of water every day, taking steps to protect yourself from the sun, and not smoking. In addition, certain products can help skin resist age-related changes. A few tips for choosing skincare products include: look for key active ingredients. Only a few ingredients have been shown to diminish wrinkles. Retinol, which is vitamin A, and its derivatives have many positive effects, including increasing collagen and decreasing pigmentation. Alpha-hydroxylic acids like glycolic acid and lactic acid help remove the upper layer of dead skin and stimulate growth of smooth, evenly pigmented skin. Keep in mind that non-prescription creams have lower concentrations of active ingredients than do prescription ointments. Consider antioxidants. A morning application of a product containing an antioxidant like vitamin C may provide some protection. Look for a built-in sunscreen. Choose products with a sun protection factor, SPF, of at least 30. Also use broad-spectrum products that block UVA and UVB rays. Water-resistant products are preferred, especially if you may perspire. When using a separate sunscreen, remember to apply it generously and reapply it every 2 hours, more often if you're swimming or perspiring. Also, use moisturizers. Moisturizers can't prevent wrinkles, but they trap water in the skin, temporarily masking tiny lines and creases. The next article is called Improving Your Balance. It's said that once you learn how to ride a bicycle, you never forget. But that's not totally true. Although you may not forget how to balance on a bike, your balancing skills can decline if you're not using them regularly. And the same is true off a bike. In addition, there are factors associated with aging that can affect balance, which include vision changes, declining muscle mass, which can accelerate with less physical activity, and side effects of certain medications, like health conditions such as Parkinson's disease, stroke, arthritis, or inner ear problems. While some medical or medication factors may be correctable or improved with the help of your healthcare provider, balance is often in the use it or lose it category. By working on your balance, you help optimize how your brain interprets signals about body position from the inner ear, eyes, muscles, and joints, then integrates these signals into muscle responses that maintain balance and coordination. Many types of physical activity, even something as basic as walking, are real-world ways to maintain, if not improve, aspects of your balance. You can improve your balance with everyday exercises like standing up or sitting down in a chair without using your hands, rising up on your toes periodically while doing the dishes, or standing on one foot while talking on the phone or brushing your teeth. Doing these actions near something that you can steady yourself with if need be. In addition, Tai Chi is a gentle exercise that improves balance and is offered at many health clubs and community centers. If your balance feels too unsteady, or if you're not sure how to start, talk to your healthcare provider about setting up a safe exercise program to improve your balance. Even if your balance is good, a physical therapist or personal trainer can help you to safely try more advanced balance or strengthening exercises. And then the article goes on to say that there is a description of some balance exercises. And I'll try to describe these. The first description shows a lady standing next to a chair. And it says, before you start, be sure to have something in place to hold on to help with balance if needed. Then stand with both feet close together. It shows her with her hand poised over the back of the chair in case she needs it for balance. For up to 1 minute, simply stand with your eyes open. Then try standing with your eyes closed for up to 1 minute. The next option says stand on one foot. If that's difficult, start by shifting your weight to one foot with the toes of the non-weight-bearing foot touching the floor until your balance improves. And again, it shows her doing this with her hand poised above the back of the chair in case she needs it for balance. There is also an advanced exercise option which says stand on one foot for up to 1 minute, then shift to standing on the other foot for 1 minute. Next, stand on one foot while slowly looking around the room side to side and up and down for 1 minute. Do the same on the other foot. For the next exercise, it says stand with one foot directly in front of the other. If that's difficult, start with one foot slightly in front of the other until your balance improves. Once again, the lady is shown standing with her hand poised above the back of a chair in case she needs it for balance. Then there is an advanced exercise. In this one, you should stand with one foot in front for up to 1 minute, then switch to having the other foot in front for 1 minute. Then slowly look around the room, repeating those steps. For a very advanced exercise, perform the first steps and keep your eyes closed, or add in looking around the room, but with your eyes closed. Next comes a section called News and Our Views. Again, this is the Mayo Clinic Health Letter from July 2021. The first article is entitled, Study Highlights the Need for Responsible Antibiotic Use. Antibiotics can be very effective against harmful bacteria. However, with serious potential consequences from misuse, antibiotics need to be used appropriately. A recent study found that older adults report misusing antibiotics at alarming rates. The survey, published in Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology, involved 2,256 people aged 50 and older. It found that 19% reported taking antibiotics that were leftovers, either those previously prescribed to them but past their expiration date, or those prescribed to someone else. The overuse of antibiotics, especially taking them when not appropriate, promotes antibiotic resistance. People may use leftover antibiotics, which treat bacterial infections, to attempt to treat viral conditions like sinusitis, bronchitis, and most sore throats. Taking an antibiotic for a viral infection doesn't cure the infection or make you less contagious. Even if it is a bacterial infection, it could be an incorrect antibiotic that only partially treats the infection, masking a more serious infection and making it harder for your doctor to identify which bacteria could be causing the infection. Antibiotics also may cause unnecessary side effects, disturb the bacterial balance in your gut, and put you at risk of other types of infections. In addition, antibiotic resistance is a global problem. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that antibiotic-resistant bacteria cause more than 2 million illnesses and about 23,000 deaths in the United States every year. Mayo Clinic experts say that the study provides a good reminder to follow these guidelines when taking any antibiotic. First, use antibiotics only as prescribed. Take the prescribed daily dose and complete the entire course. Secondly, don't take leftover antibiotics for a later illness. They may not be the correct antibiotic, and they may not provide a full course of treatment. Finally, don't take antibiotics or any drug prescribed for another person. The next article is called Health on Social Media, Information and Support. A hashtag, a word or phrase preceded by a hash or pound symbol, is used on many social media sites to identify digital content on a specific topic. While the range of hashtag topics is broad, their usefulness in developing health awareness and support has received increasing attention. A study from the Journal of Patient-Centered Research and Reviews looked at the use of a particular hashtag representing breast cancer social media. It's hashtag BCSM, all in capital letters, to tag charts, requests for support, and other relevant content. In its first year of use, the hashtag was posted 602 times, while in its final year study, that number had grown to nearly 20,000 posts that included BCSM, or breast cancer social media. Over 8 years, the hashtag was used by 75,000 people, resulting in an estimated reach of 4.22 billion views or impressions. An increasing number of doctors and other health professionals now use the hashtag to contribute to discussions on care options, clinical trials, and recent research. The study authors list many benefits to online support. Participation in support groups can provide a sense of community and may better prepare you to work with your healthcare team. Online interactions may overcome some barriers to in-person group participation, including time conflicts, a lack of available groups, or the inability to gather during the pandemic. Mayo Clinic recognizes the value of online support for health challenges. Its online community, Mayo Clinic Connect, encourages members to share their experiences, ask questions, and find answers. Join at https://connect, that's C-O-N-N-E-C-T, period, Mayo Clinic, that's capital M-A-Y-O, capital C-L-I-N-I-C, .org. The blog page, Aging and Health Take Charge, is designed specifically for health letter readers. Not all online information is good information. Verify claims with trusted sources. Discuss what you find with your doctor, who is best able to advise you on the appropriate care for your individual needs. The next is a question from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter called Second Opinion. My spouse is sometimes up at night in distress. She says she feels a sudden severe stabbing pain in her rectum. She's embarrassed to talk about it, especially since it seems to go away fairly quickly. What could be causing it? Should we be worried? Pain in the lower rectum can have many causes, but your spouse's symptoms are consistent with a condition called proctalgia fugax. With proctalgia fugax, intense muscle spasms in and around the anal canal can cause severe or even excruciating short-term pain. The spasms occur periodically and can last a few seconds up to 30 minutes. They occur most often at night and are more likely to happen in women than men. In about 8% of people who experience the condition at some point in life, many report feeling too uncomfortable to work when it occurs. Proctalgia fugax has been tied to high levels of stress and anxiety and can occur after sexual intercourse, bowel movements, childbirth, or surgery. Taking a warm sitz bath, soaking up to the hips in warm water, or using deep breathing exercises or another relaxation technique may help ease the spasms and pain. The condition may go away on its own, but symptoms that persist should be discussed with a healthcare provider. The healthcare provider can evaluate for other causes like hemorrhoids, anal fissures, irritable bowel syndrome, inflammation of the prostate gland, and closely related condition called levator ani syndrome. In addition, he or she may recommend other treatment options, including applied or injected medications. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.